Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. I wrote those original lines and what that means.
But you know, you've got to get Jerry Berg to do a little better, a little emphasis, okay? This is live call-in radio at its very best.
I don't know what he's had, Pete. I don't know what he's had this morning, but you better be prepared. Yeah. He's fired up.
Right, and they would take us off the air if they heard what we were talking about for the last 5 minutes.
All I said was, just please don't say that. I don't know what I would do.
Welcome, everybody. It is live call-in radio at its very best, but it is called Leading
At its very best.
Jerry, control yourself here. People are wondering if that's coffee or something else in that cup. All right. If you would like to call in and talk.
He bought the mocha, you know that.
To talk. Here he is talking about a mocha. We did a diabetes seminar. This was like 8 years ago. About 8 or 9 years ago, we decided we'd do a seminar for diabetics.
Yes.
He stands up there, and the first thing he says, mocha, my favorite drink, elixir of the gods, sugar, you know.
Sugar, chocolate, and caffeine.
Seth and I are standing in the backstage. Holy moly, what is going on? So you... Oh, man, I remember that one. Couldn't believe it. All these...
It's not... The sugar in your mocha that makes you diabetic is the damn fat on your belly. That's what makes you a diabetic.
All right.
Did I say a diabetic?
Yes.
Well, that makes good sense. A diabetic comes from the fat
you
on your belly.
Are you part of the Biden family now? Okay.
I think we start again, maybe.
I will say... That this is just one reason why I don't mind getting up in the dark Saturday mornings at 6 or thereabouts, and why I love doing the show. I can at least enjoy myself while we're serving the audience.
Isn't that what life is all about?
Yes, and especially today. It's Halloween, guys.
It
Happy
is Halloween.
Halloween. Yes.
Are there really going to be trick-or-treaters today?
I doubt it.
So?
I doubt it.
I mean...
You know, I have not had a trick-or-treater come to my house in years.
Yeah.
I used to buy a little bag of candy or something in hopes that somebody would show up, but I've never had
it. It depends on where you live. If you live in a subdivision or in a community where people know each other, they don't come around?
No. The last couple of years, no.
No?
No. Of course, it could be because we turn off all the lights and I stand in the driveway.
The barbed wire on the sidewalk probably does something about it,
Hey, listen, if you would like to ask, I don't know why you would, but if you would like to ask either of these two fine physicians, Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samara Umat, a question about your health or health in general, maybe you're frustrated, maybe you need a second opinion. Maybe when you got out of bed this morning, it was painful. And something is going on. Whatever it is, give us a call. All the lines are open right now at 1-800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And let's start off. We haven't been doing this a lot lately, but even though we did last week. Yeah. But let's start off with a little virus conversation, information.
You think anybody's interested in a virus right about now?
Well,
there is this one called COVID-19 that's kind of, yeah, the CCP virus, the Chinese Communist Party virus. interesting, there is now a second formalized study that is demonstrating that flu shots reduce your risk of getting serious COVID infections.
Really?
Yes. You know, we've talked several times about the fact that T-cell immunity tends to protect us, and the more immunizations you have had, the better your T-cell immunity tends to be, and the less susceptible you tend to be to the virus.
This is really good news. Vicki and I got our flu shots about 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, I got my pneumonia shot, because at your suggestion, because of my...
Yeah, your history of bronchitis.
Bronchitis history.
Well, there's actually been some speculation that this might be part of why kids don't get very sick with the virus. Because the more immunizations you've had in the last 5 years, the more protection you've got against the virus. It seems that there is cross immunity, these other immunizations. And children get whacked with a lot of immunizations from birth on.
That's right. You know?
And they have to keep their immunizations up in order to get into school.
That is right.
You have to show the school your immunization record. Mm-hmm. And what the theory is now becoming is that all of those multiple immunizations, the DPT, the mumps, the flu, the this, that probably adds up to a significant degree of resistance to the virus. And then you throw on top of that, that very strong childhood immune system,
right,
and put it all together, and you've got real protection. So, you know, the incidence of children getting infected is about 1/19th as high as adults. And when they do get infected, most of them have no symptoms at all. They get the virus grows, they throw it off, they never got sick. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little runny nose, maybe they're tired for a day or two, but for the majority of kids, that's it. Mm-hmm. So we adults should make sure our immunizations are up to date, because they are not, strictly speaking, a COVID immunization, and yet every immunization you get seems to confer some degree of protection against the virus.
Well, that sounds like good news to me.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think, I was going to ask a political question.
What do you think? We're in an election year or something?
The Democrats certainly seem to have put the virus front and center. It's the only thing Biden, for example, wants to talk about when he can put words together. It is a big, big deal for one party, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. My daughter's school, my daughter does go to school in real life, not just online. But they have told us that the school gets out at 3:15 in the afternoon, but they have daycare for working parents till 6:00, but they are going to close the school by 4:00. They want all the kids home before dark because they're worried about riots and civil unrest as a result of the election.
Yeah, I saw a statistic like 64% of Americans are concerned about rioting this coming week.
Yeah, and of course, my thought is, this is Washington State. Mr. Biden is going to win. I mean, there's no chance in hell.
The state, of course.
The state, yes. Biden is going to win Washington State. I mean, there's no way, you know, if the archangel came down with a flaming sword, Mr. Trump could not win in Washington State.
That's
just
right.
All there is to it. Why would anybody riot here?
Why are they rioting?
Their guy wins, so they decide to riot. I don't know.
Anyway, why don't we take a call? Because the first call, let's go to line one. It's Mike in Tacoma. Mike, you've got a question for us.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to clarify. I guess I'm confused about cases. About what actually a case is. Does that mean that you're infected? Does that mean that you have it, don't have it? Can one of you guys just kind of explain that for me a little bit?
It depends on what state you're in, oddly enough. Confirmed cases are anybody that has had a confirmed positive, that is a PCR positive viral test. So if you have, if you are growing virus in your system, you're a confirmed case. That is, if they've done your test. The problem with that is that many people that are hospitalized are not actually hospitalized because of the virus. You know, we have so-called viral deaths caused by two bullets in the chest. You know, the guy gets shot, they bring him in through the emergency room, he dies, his test comes back positive, he's a COVID death. As though those, you know, those two gangbanger bullets in his chest had nothing to do with it. That's kind of crazy. And so, and the same thing true if you come in with a heart attack or a stroke and you are COVID positive at the time, that is a COVID death in some states. In other states, you actually have to have had a significant illness related to COVID to be counted as a COVID case and or death. Complicating it more, of course, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 times as many people have the virus with no symptoms. So the majority of people who catch the virus never know they had it.
And then if we find out the antibodies have tested positive later on, then we do we count them as a case or exactly?
They're not counted as a new case they were a previous case that we never knew about. So when we get an antibody test, you know, about, depending on the test you look at, 10 to 20% of the population has an antibody at some point. The problem with that is we also know that the antibodies decrease in,
they do, yeah,
in number over time. Mm-hmm. So if you got sick in January and you get tested in June and you are antibody negative, that doesn't mean you didn't get the virus. It means you no longer have enough antibody to detect to the virus. So, yeah.
Wow.
So we don't really know. You know, I got sick in January. Excuse me. For some reason, I'm very phlegmy this morning. You know, my wife and daughter were in China. They were actually, my daughter was performing on national Chinese TV on New Year's Eve. They did the Western New Year. And so, wife and daughter went the day after Christmas, went to China, and they did their TV appearance, and then they went off and went to a marathon with 35,000 other people, and they got sick. Wife was coughing. Daughter got a little sniffle and a mild cough. Everybody in their social group caught the same thing, lots of coughing, lots of sniffling, a little shortness of breath. My wife brought it home to me in January. I, being 30 years older than her, got pretty sick. I missed 2 weeks of work.
Well, you didn't miss the radio, you bum. You sat right in here with me, and I said, are you sure you don't have the virus? No.
Well, that's because at that time, we didn't know the virus was in America yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was too early. We didn't know.
The first documented case in America was January 28th, and Trump shut the travel down 3 days later on the 31st. So the first case in America triggered him to shut things down, the first documented case. Turns out, of course, lots of people were sick with it before then. We didn't know. I didn't know what I was coughing with. But so I'm pretty sure my wife and daughter brought me home COVID in January.
I'm actually glad this happened, by the way, and that I sat with you for 4 hours twice in this small enclosed room.
Yes.
And
but in late June, I finally got my antibody test, and it was negative.
Yeah.
So the question is, what I had in January that was brought home to me from China, was it COVID, and I simply no longer have the antibody, or was it some other virus that looked very similar? Because I was so coughing and short of breath. I've never coughed that hard in my life.
Yeah, you were very sick.
I was sick to the point every muscle in my chest was sore from, you know, the contractions of coughing.
Wow.
So yeah, how do you count? You know, how do you count cases? Beats the hell out of me, friend.
You know.
Well,
there
I guess
you go,
I know.
Mike.
Last month you were talking, doctor, about being in phase three of the vaccine process. Where are we at with that right now? Do you know?
We've got two vaccines that will probably be applying for approval within the next 2 weeks.
And they're making millions on them this week.
Yeah, they're trying at least. Yeah, that, you know, the federal government put several billion dollars into pre-buying the vaccine so that the companies would be willing to manufacture it even before they got approval so that they could get it out to the population as quickly as possible. So, and it will be free to the drugstores and the pharmacies and so on. The pharmacy might or might not charge us an administration fee, you know, $5 or something to give the shot. But the vaccine will essentially be free to everybody who gets it. And, you know, we're just waiting for the approvals. The studies are pretty much completed. They're crunching the data now. And they've got a relatively lax standard. It needs to reduce the incidence of the disease by at least 50% to get approved with no significant risk of adverse effects. Most of the studies, I've seen some of the preliminary data, they are in the mid-70s for the reduction right now. So they're, you know, if it actually can reduce the virus by 70 to 75%, that's a pretty good result.
Mm-hmm.
you know, 80% of our deaths are in people over 65, and that's only 52 million Americans. So if we gave it to everybody over 65, we only have to give it to 52 million people. And that would reduce our death rates by 80%.
Yeah, but you know, 70 to 80% recovery rate, Jerry, is very good. We don't hit that with the flu vaccine most years.
Yes, that's right. Well, you got to remember that's the early preliminary data.
Yeah.
They'll be revising that as millions of people get it instead of 30,000, 40,000.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Mike. Good call, good question, and that opens up a line now as we go into a break. If you've got a question for Dr. Mixon or for Dr. Newmat or both, they often chime in together. Call us at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. When we come back, we've got someone wants to know about the side effects of shingles. And are there any, and should they proceed or not, or what have you?
Okay.
Another question about cysts. And in any event, we've got two lines open for you folks right now. Call us at 800-465-8770.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that. So I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
Would this be good for my parents? My dad, this guy, wanted to know. He's now a happy patient at Longevity Medical Clinic. And he wants to know if his dad, who's 80, if longevity would be good for him, too. I almost feel bad that they have to ask that question, because that just sort of shows there's this mentality that if you get old, it's hopeless. Just live with it.
No, die with it.
Die graciously. You're right.
Yeah.
Don't live with it. Die with it. You know, let's address that real quickly before we take a call. We have a lot of listeners who have parents that are in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And, we've got stories. In fact, I think we were talking just this morning about one of your patients in the 80s.
Yeah.
And what a difference longevity can make for people in their 80s.
Oh, absolutely. I have asked if he would give me testimonial. And also, I want pictures of him in the gym working out.
Yes,
you know, with
and he flies his own plane.
He flies his own plane.
He's in his 80s.
Yes.
And he says, well, he knows people that are over 100 still flying planes.
Right.
Hopefully not for United. But in any event, the difference longevity can make. So I guess the answer is obvious. It doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it matters. Clearly, we can do more for a 50-year-old than an 80-year-old. You know, 50-year-olds have more reserve, and they're easier to get back. But yes, anybody, if you're not dead yet, we can probably improve your level of function. But, you know, I would not be shocked to see a 50-year-old functioning as well as a 30-year-old. Probably not going to get an 80-year-old functioning as well as a 30-year-old. Getting that 80-year-old back to a 50-year-old level would be pretty dramatic in and of itself. You know, we're dealing with medicine, not magic. You know, we don't have spells and wands.
Is Halloween, though.
Well, yeah. <It's true>. Yeah. You know, every 4 or 5 months, which is about, you've told this particular story about your oldest patient, but it's been 4 or 5 months. So tell our listeners again about your oldest patient.
Oldest patient I ever treated.
Right. Okay.
You know, this was a very nice lady who came in to see me, and she was on a walker. It took her nearly 5 minutes to get across the examining room floor. I mean, she was barely moving.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to become a patient. She started out by fibbing to me, which is not a good thing to do. She told me she was only 93 years old. And according to her chart, she was 98 years old.
Okay.
So I gently chided her that, you know, lying to the doctor is a sin. My MD stands for minor deity. Ergo, lying to me is a sin. But I would forgive her, being a gracious deity. I was worried about treating her. I'd never treated anyone at 98 before. And the fact that she could barely move, it told me there were probably limits to what I could accomplish.
Concerning.
The way she was dressed made it clear that she was a lady of some limited means. And so I told her I didn't want to take her money if I didn't think I could help her, and I had no idea what I could or couldn't accomplish. She came back with a great answer. She said, "Doctor, I'm dying. I feel like I'm encased in concrete, and I can move less every day. I don't have a lot, but when I die, someone else is going to spend whatever I've got left. So why don't I spend it to see if I can get better or not?" I didn't know how to argue with that one.
Oh, that's so logical, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So I accepted her as a patient. It took me 18 months to get her off the walker. But in 18 months, when she was turning 100, she was walking the high school track quarter mile twice a day without a walker.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
When she was 101, she had been going out with her great-grandchildren. She was going to the mall. She was living again. And she came in very proud of herself one spring day to tell me she had just mowed her own lawn. Now,
I just love it.
I got to tell you, the idea of a 101-year-old woman mowing her lawn gave me palpitations. My hope was she used one of those mowers that pulls itself, and all she had to do was get pulled along behind it rather than pushing it.
Who cares? She's,
but, yeah.
She's living.
But she was out mowing her lawn and doing gardening at 101. When at 98, she was ready to die. Now, she did die at 103. And, you know, that old heart of hers finally gave out. But the 5 years that she was with us were dramatically more productive and joy-filled than the 5 years before that, when she was sliding downhill towards the grave.
Mm.
And so, you know, even as people approach 100, there are things we can do. And yes, our goals for accomplishment are more modest. In her case, it was to get her off the walker and out actually walking again. And we succeeded. I have far more robust goals if you're only in your 80s. I have even more robust goals if you're only in your 70s. And heaven forbid, if you're in your 50s and 60s, I want you functioning like, you know, those kids in their 40s. Mm. So, yes, if you're alive, if you're above ground and taking nourishment, there is no reason not to come to longevity, because there are almost certainly things we can accomplish for you.
And with that said, what a good time for me to chime in here. I was just thrilled to get my email, as I always get Friday, from Bia, who is in charge of the schedule and scheduling the free health analysis appointments. And I'm happy to say that we now have a nice variety of appointments in all three of our clinics. And we've opened them up, by the way, through the third week of November. So for the next 3 weeks, you've got a pretty decent supply of our free health analysis appointments. And as you've often heard here, you know, if you don't measure, you don't know. This is why almost a couple of years ago, it hit us like kind of a brick. Well, let's do some measuring for people and don't even charge them for it. So we give you two free tests. One is a blood test, and the other is a special in-body test that's just kind of like Star Trek stuff. It just really is amazing what can be done there. And you get those results right there during the free health analysis appointment. So you can understand what some of your basic health risks are right there. And you can't make a decision about longevity if you don't have information. And so that's why we just decided to do that for you. And you can make your own free health analysis appointment. And we even are still, as a little thank you and incentive, offering $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming to a free health analysis appointment. I mean, it's kind of such a no-brainer, just a total no-brainer. So I encourage you to go to our website. About 95% of our appointments are made online by you. Right there at your home, or maybe you're working on the weekend here or what have you. You just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the button to schedule an appointment. And the three clinics, because we have three, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland, and you select the clinic that is closest to you, obviously. And when you select, let's say you select Kirkland, then the Kirkland schedule of free health analysis appointments will show up on your screen. And you just move your cursor over to the appointment that is most convenient for you. It's so easy to do. And like I said, you get $100 of free longevity supplements. Hey, and we even give you a choice if you don't want the supplements. Most people do. Well, many people do anyway. Or you can also, you could choose the two free fitness books that we put together, along with our fitness bands that, oh boy, people really are enjoying those. So either way, this is a great, great time. Just because you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s does not mean it's too late. Please, please, please don't give up on yourself. It's just not a good idea. So many good things can happen. Go to lmclinic.com. Make your free health analysis appointment. Now, when we come back, we just do just a quick break here. And when we come back, we will talk with Dick from Everett about cysts. We've got some other callers on here. Oh, we'll also talk about the shingles vaccine. We got carried away just with that question coming in from the last break, is it good for my parents who, in that case, was in the 80s? Yes. Don't give up in your 80s or even your 90s. Hey, we'll be right back.
I've been away for 5 weeks. I've been in Italy, and I got to tell you, I kind of miss you guys on the weekend. You have this rare honesty that you find in Europe, but you don't see in the United States. Everybody's too careful about what they say and don't say, and I just love the fact that you tell it like it is. Hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now, it's
Chubby Checker. That was in the 60s. Oh, boy.
Did you enjoy doing the twist when you were a kid?
I did. It was the first Fast Dance because, hey, you know, I was 12 and 13 years old.
Sure, there was the twist, the mashed potato, the stroll.
That's right.
Whoa, okay.
It was incredible. Loved it. All right, let us go to Everett and talk with Dick.
Mashed
Hello,
potato.
Dick.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Morning, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you, sir.
Well.
How can we help you?
Good. I just had an ultrasound of my scrotum.
Okay.
They discovered on the right epididymis multiple clustered epididymal cysts, largest measuring 4.2 by 3.1 by 3.2 centimeter.
Centimeters?
And on the left epididymis, they had sub-centimeter epididymal head cysts. They said it's just nothing to get excited about. What would you do with a situation like that?
Okay, well, of course, my first question when you first started talking was, why were they doing ultrasound of your scrotum? But then you told me these cysts are big.
I discovered what I thought might be a third testicle, and I'm over 80.
Okay, yeah, because a cyst, 2.5 centimeters is an inch in diameter. So you're talking about, you know, multiple lesions there, half an inch to an inch in diameter. My goodness.
Yep.
I understand why you thought you had a third testicle. Okay. Usually, epididymal cysts are benign. They are not usually malignant. They're usually just a result of blockage of the vas deferens and so on, and the increased pressure causes the tissue to dilate, and you get basically a little sac filled with fluid. So they're not usually a big deal, but, you know, the characteristic of those cysts is going to make a difference. For instance, if they are simple fluid-filled cysts, if there are no solid masses associated with them, probably benign. If there are mixed solid and cystic lesions there, then you got to worry about testicular cancers. Testicular cancer in your age group is pretty darn rare. That's usually a young man's disease. We often see that in men in their late 20s to mid 30s. So it would be unusual to see it in your group, but not impossible, I guess. Did they characterize the cysts at all? Were they able to tell you whether they're simple cysts or whether there's, you know, complex components?
Didn't say it at all. They just said that their normal vascularity is the only comment they made.
Okay. Well, that's the good news, I guess. If it was cancers, if it was a testicular cancer, you're normally going to see hypervascularity because you're growing solid new tissue and you get lots and lots of blood vessel ingrowth. So that's probably good news. The other thing that they're basically ruling out, though, is a hemangioma. A common malformation that will give you what looks like cysts is a blood vessel, a mixed blood vessel tumor with lots and lots of twisted veins. And, of course, they're filled with blood and distended, which makes them look cyst-like. But it doesn't sound like that's the situation. You know, the only way to be 100% sure is to go in and take the cotton picking things out and put them in a jar in the laboratory and let them be evaluated.
Well, if he's asymptomatic other than just the lump and all it's causing is dull aching symptoms and it's really not bothering him, then
that's
nothing to worry. I guess the only worry would be if they become infected and then he has pain or anything related to that.
Or because the epididymis can torse.
Yeah.
You can end up with torsion and basically kill the testicle because you shut down the blood supply. Well,
that's very, very painful. And if the cysts are really big, they could aspirate the fluid out if he is uncomfortable. That would give him more comfort. But I guess he said they were within normal range. Isn't that what he said?
They said that the whole situation is normal. Nothing to get excited about.
They do get as men get older, they do tend to have epididymal cysts.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with the cysts, as I said, the only way to be 100% sure is to get it in the jar and let the pathologist look at it. But guesstimating, just from what you've described, I'd say your odds are 98-99% that there's nothing serious there. So, you know, it's one of those things you can
live with. How long should I let this go before I consider
how long do you plan to live
with it?
Well, no, it depends upon your symptoms. Are they bothering you? Are you in pain?
No, one time I had just a little fleeting pain, and that's okay. When I discovered this thing. And then I got on it right away and got the ultrasound, mm-hmm. and then the their recommendation is they said just right now just let it be. And yeah. My first thought was they said that because I'm an older guy, and well, maybe you're going to die of something else first.
Yeah. No, well, if they are troubling you, like I said, you could go in to see a urologist, and it's easy to just drain it.
Yeah.
But the problem
is reoccur.
It will reoccur. The problem is it will fill back up again.
Yeah. You know, putting a needle in and pulling the fluid out, we'll let them send the fluid to the pathologist and make sure there's no cells in there that look malignant. That would at least put your mind at rest that you do not have some sort of cystic tumor, some sort of cystic cancer there. I think the odds on that are very, very low, but it's not impossible. The problem with draining it is it's not really a cure. It will reoccur. It'll fill back up with fluid. So,
but the same, relatively the same amount of fluid?
Probably, eventually, yeah. Yeah, you know, the aspiration is just going to poke a little hole. No, it won't go crazy. It'll just eventually that little puncture hole is going to seal off, and the fluid that's in there now will reaccumulate. As these cyst walls tend to stretch, because they do tend to stretch over time, this is probably going to get bigger over the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. And that was why I was kind of half joking when I asked how long you plan, you know, you asked how long you should watch it. And the question is, how long do you plan to live?
I'll be 110. I'll be older than that lady you just talked about.
All right, yeah.
All right.
You know, if you got another 20 years, you got 20 more years for these things to slowly expand. You know, at some point, they may well get to the point that you want to go ahead and have a relatively simple surgical procedure to strip them out and close it off.
Yes, sclerotherapy. They do that. So if they bother you, go and have them first drain the cyst and then just see how slowly it reaccumulates. And if that happens too quickly, then they may want to do some sclerotherapy for it.
And sclerotherapy is where they inject something. Sometimes it's as simple as a detergent solution that just basically inflames the wall of the cyst and causes it to scar down and shrink.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's not a terribly difficult thing to do. You just want to be 100% sure before you start just trying to treat it.
Right.
That you're not one of those one guys in 1,000 that has something serious there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
A cyst sounds kind of a little bit disgusting to me, and I just didn't even want to have that in my body.
Well, a cyst is just a fluid-filled sac.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's actually not that bad. If you're
going
to have something, that's probably a safe thing to have.
You got it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. Excellent. All right, I guess I'll just check your suggestion here. Maybe have it drained and evaluated, and then if it comes back too quick, then I can go to the next step.
Yes, and the sclerotherapy is, again, pretty simple. It's just a matter of they pull the fluid out, they inject something, a sclerosing agent, an irritant, into the sac that causes it to scar down. So it's not that difficult.
What's that called again, please?
Sclerotherapy.
Could you spell that for me, please?
She can.
Perhaps.
S-C-L-E-R-O therapy, T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. So it's S-C-L-E-R-O, sclerotherapy.
Gotcha. All right. So that when I'm talking with a urologist, I can give him a clue of what I'm thinking about.
You got it.
All right. Okay, thanks very much, Rob. Really appreciate your assistance.
You're welcome,
hey, good
sir.
Luck.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, real quickly, let's and by the way, folks, that opens up another line, so you grab it right now, 800-465-8770. Before we go to a break, let's answer the question about the shingles. This was a person who did not want to go on the air live because they are so afraid of
us intimidating them.
Oh, yes. Yes, we are a scary bunch.
Well, it's especially that, you know, that woman over there. She's a mean one.
Oh,
right.
I know. No. Right. Terrible person. No. Anyway, shingles. Good, bad, side effects, that kind of thing. Yes,
shingles,
no.
Bad.
Yes. Vaccine, good.
Vaccine, good, yeah. Shingles are basically a neurologic manifestation of chickenpox. You know, we had chickenpox when we were kids. Our body suppressed the virus, but the virus never really left. It's just been sequestered in our nervous system, sitting there. We get old enough that eventually our immune system is no longer strong enough to keep it suppressed, and so the virus flares up in a nerve root, usually causing a rash and pain, sometimes blisters. A significant percentage of people that don't treat it, that just let it run its course, will end up with long-term or even permanent pain. So, you know, I'm an advocate of treating it aggressively. If you get a shingles flare, I don't do the 5 or 6 days of antiviral therapy. I keep them on the antiviral drug until they are totally pain-free, even if that takes 6 months. They reoccur. They come back over and over and over again. So I would say if you've ever had a shingles flare, you should go get your virus or your vaccine.
It's not too late, even if you've had shingles.
Shingrix will reduce your risk dramatically of getting it to occur again. The only real side effects are just that, rash and pain. Sometimes people get long-term discoloration of the skin, or redness or irritability, and they can be very, very tender to even light touch because it's a hypersensitive, irritated nerve.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the few people, my friends, that have had shingles, one of my friends, the latest friend incidents, got it on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he was miserable for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. Hard to sleep. I mean, he was a mess. So.
Well, it's a nerve pain. It's very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and if it's on your torso, sometimes you hear of stories where people can't have their clothes touch their, you know, body. It's really very painful.
Yep.
So it's something you want to prevent if you can.
Yeah, Vicki and I got our shingles when we were 62. We were told that you had to be at least 62. That was, what, 8 or 9 years ago?
Oh, 50 now.
They've dropped it to 50.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess that's even better news.
Sure.
If you're 50, go grab it.
Go grab it. And remember, it's another vaccination.
Yeah.
Might help protect you against COVID. More vaccinations, better resistance to COVID.
Hey, we've got lines open. In fact, all the lines are open right now at 800-465-8770. You call right now, boom, you're on as soon as we come back.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't come in and listened to a seminar and you folks to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game. Let me know.
You know, this fella who just gave his little mini testimonial coming out of the break said that, we say that it's possible that you can feel and function better this next year than you did 5, 10 years ago. We say that because we don't want to be too crazy and say, oh, but this guy said he feels better now than he did 30 years ago. And again, just a quick reminder, we had no idea what this guy was going to say when he first offered his testimonial. And it sounds dramatic.
But it's true.
But it's true.
People come in and tell us that all the time. So, you know, you hear it often enough from your patients, you have to presume that this is a frequent occurrence among the patients.
So bottom line, this is just one more reason why don't you put us to the test? Quite literally. We finally just decided a couple of years ago. I mean, we're just going to do a couple of free tests just to make our point. It's so important to measure. If you don't measure, you don't know. And then you've heard what my dad has always told me, that the first step to solving a problem is defining a problem. Well, they go hand in hand. If you're not happy, I guess this here's the deal. If you're not happy with the aging process that you're going through right now, I don't know what it would be. Maybe you have a hard time getting out of bed every morning. You're stiff and you can't move, or you getting out of a chair is painful. You just don't have the energy. You've lost your libido. You don't have that zest for life again. No passion for your mate. Well, come on. What have you got to lose? Let us do a little measuring for you and see what some of your basic health risks are. It's as simple as that. That's why we decided to put our money where our mouth is in doing the free tests. So it's called the health analysis appointment. They're free. And if you, when you come in, we'll even give you $100 of free longevity supplements, just to, as a teaser and a thank you. You'll be glad you did. Go to lmclinic.com. Make your own appointment. Easy, easy, easy to do. And I failed again. I do this often. I failed to give you a toll-free number. Don't look at me that way. He failed. It made him happy. I had to confess.
Well, it should be confessing.
Well, we all know who that will be. Anyway.
I never confess.
If you want to make one over the phone, because not everybody can do it online, but if you want to call in, the number is 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. For crying out loud, snap out of that little, I don't know what it's called, but don't fall for the lie that you just have to fall apart on schedule like everybody else. It's just not true. 866-86-YOUNG, or do it online at lmclinic.com. All right. Let's go to Yelm and talk to Ray.
Hello, Ray.
Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How you doing, doctor? I've got, I can't get any mouth for mass. I've been on your program 4 or 5 years. I've seen, Dr. Killebrew once, I guess, and I had to test. But my main comment was about having, I think I had the COVID back in February this year, too. No one believed me. I've been tested 2 or 3 times at the VA. I said, no antibodies, just like you're saying. I still have residual cough. I'm still hacking things all day long. And it's like, how long now? Anyway, my kids don't believe me. But anyway, just still doing CrossFit and riding my bike across town every day. No more theater. Thanks for coming up that time when you came up with the group.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my muscle mass, I'm still like 120, 122. I can get up to 124, 126, but boom, right back down. I'm almost got enough money to save to get in the program. But I'll tell you what, I'm doing incredible. I'm almost box jumping like mad. I'm almost running. I'm taking tons of supplements and everything you're doing and everything you say. I listen to the show every week. Try to pass on all I can, but you know, with the wisdom, with age comes this wisdom. But and the other comment is, I was back there cooking food at. I was cooking. You probably cooked your breakfast going over there to Vietnam back there in '67, down there at Norton. I don't know, but yeah, we have a lot in common there, Doc. But anyway, so what can I do about my muscle mass here?
Well,
is there anything I can do? I mean, my weight's coming. You know, it's
well, there are things you can do, you know, for muscle mass, but they do involve physicians and prescriptions. We're talking about raising your anabolic hormone load and maybe decreasing your senescent cell load. So, you know, there's stuff we can do, but there's not much you can do in the way of over the counter supplements that's going to do the job.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking tons of this stuff. I get a lot of my supplements from you. I take the ORS and all. I mean, I've been with you 4 or 5 years now, so.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. I sure wish the bring more people down you know, but it's too bad. They just don't want to hear it. So I guess I have to leave them behind.
That's what you do.
Kids with strokes and way overweight, man. It's just like the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. Anyway, yeah, I got enough for a third of it here pretty soon, so I'm going to get down there. I'll work it out.
We'll do what we can do.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Thanks a lot, and bless you all for being here every daggone day. There's not a week I don't miss and listen to your show.
That's good to hear, Ray. Thank you so much. Let's go to one of the things
he was mentioning, though, is the lack of antibody response. Mm-hmm. The studies are now showing that the younger you are, the better you maintain antibody levels.
Yeah.
And the older you are, the faster the antibody levels fall. Mm-hmm. So as, you know, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s get sick and recover, we drop our antibodies relatively fast. And so, you know, it would not be outrageous for me to have had it in January and be negative in June.
Right. But the other thing that both you and he do, and he talked about a lot of commonalities between the two of you, is remaining physically active throughout it all. Even when he has symptoms, he has kept up with his exercise.
Yeah. Even when I was coughing and short of breath, I simply went down on the Cross Kirkland Trail and I walked. I couldn't run in those, you know, because I was too short of breath. But I walked every day. And, fortunately, of course, that trail, you go out like I usually go out before the sun comes up. There's nobody else there. Mm-hmm. You're at no risk of spreading it to anybody else because the trail is empty.
Sure. And then, you know, just given that, you assume then that he's probably lean, and he talked about a lot of muscle mass. So he's already being proactive in preventing himself from becoming sick or being laid up in bed from this illness.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. You just mentioned again about the senescent cell load. Mm-hmm. This is something that, yes, we've talked about that with some regularity, at least once a month or so. You go into an explanation. But I thought this would be a good time, since you brought it up again, to mention that we've got this new video presentation on our website. Mm-hmm. It's called The Two Stages of Aging. We've got about a minute. Why don't you explain why you created that?
Well, basically, there are two very distinct stages of aging. And the first is reproductive aging. And that's what we started treating back in, you know, the 1990s. And that's where we go through and measure all your hormone balances, your inflammatory markers, and so on, and try to move as many of your endocrine support systems back to a 25 to 30 year old range and hold them there. Change your diet, change your lifestyle, use different supplements and so on to try to enhance your body's repair and recovery. But there's a second stage to aging, which is senescent aging. We develop senescent cells, cells that will no longer allow you to grow and heal and repair, that build up with age.
And this whole process, the bottom line, when we come back, I thought we had a little more time. When we come back, I'll let Dr. Mixon explain a little further about the senescent cell therapy. But in the meantime, we've got a video on our website, lmclinic.com, called The Two Stages of Aging.
And people really ought to go in and
watch. Oh, my golly. It's critical. You want to hear about the leading edge? Watch The Two Stages of Aging at lmclinic.com. We have about a 15-second break at the top of the hour, and then we will be back with hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine.